going to be turning in the Word of God to Psalm 139. We're going to look at the majority of this chapter. We're going to skip a few verses in here, but we're going to look at quite a bit of it. So try to listen quickly as I talk quickly. Okay, what the Word of God is wonderful. It's extraordinary, and we're going to, I hope, learn a few things about God in today's message. We're going to start out in verse 1, Psalm 139, verse 1. If you're joining us by way of media, Facebook, or whatever, we welcome you and glad that you're listening. Make a comment on there to somebody, let them know that you're there, and that way we'll know. Or you can even amen me that way. We just might not know what your amen is unless we go back and listen. Okay, verse 1. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. He uses this word examine. And if you're reading into the King James Version, it said, you have searched my heart. And this basically means that God has examined you intimately. He knows about you intimately. And let's think about that for a moment. He certainly does, doesn't he? He knows everything about you. I believe that God knows you better than you know yourself. That's pretty hard to do unless you're God. And so, you see, God is not just looking your way occasionally. He's seeking you and guiding you and watching you. He wants to be active in your life. He wants to be there and he wants to be present, and he is present in everything, in every day, every situation that you're going through. Even the times where it doesn't feel like he's near, he's still there. And so when we talk about God examining our hearts, and this is one that I have personally used and I've heard others use it. Well, God knows my heart. Well, there's the way I see it, there's two sides to that. One, and we usually are using that to refer to, hey, God knows that I'm pure in my attitude about that. And I know that's how we typically try to use it. But then there's the other side of it that is also, God knows my heart. Everything, right? And it's the truth. He knows all of that. He knows your strengths and he knows your weaknesses. He knows your victories and he knows your failings. He knows all of it. And we're going to look at some more and read, because David is, this psalm is contributed to David. He continues in verse 2. He says, God, you know when I sit down or stand up. Okay, time out. Who cares whether you sit down or stand up? Evidently, God does. I wonder how many times we sit and stand in a day. I don't have the answer for that, but I'm kind of curious. I tried to look it up, couldn't find anything. But I did find some other stuff later on that I'll let you know about. But he says, God, you know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. It kind of interests me. As a pastor, when people find out that I'm a pastor, they usually act a little bit differently, at least if they didn't know that I was a pastor before. And it's kind of funny, so I don't always tell everybody. but it's interesting. It really shouldn't matter, shouldn't change things much, should it? Why? Why would I say that? Well, because God sees it all anyway. God knows it all anyway, so it wouldn't matter if you're saying something in this building as the church building. We know that this is not the church, this is just a building where the church meets, because we are the church, right? Remember 2020? That was the lesson. One of the main lessons we learned then was that God, that we're the church, not just a building. And so whether we say something in here or to a pastor or not, God knows it. Whoever we say it to, even if we say it in private, If we're in the middle of the rainforest and you say something, guess what? God knows it. And he hears. Pretty interesting, isn't it? He knows our thoughts. He knows when we sit and when we stand. Matter of fact, this verse came to mind. Psalm 17, verse 8 says, God's word says, keep me as the apple of your eye. And I like that because God views you as extremely important to him. Important enough, mind you, that he would send his one and only son to a cruel cross. That's how much he loves you. He not only said it, he proved it. He proved it. He proved it by sending Jesus to a cross. Aren't you thankful? God knows your thoughts. Why is that important? I think it's important because guess what? Actions are first thoughts. Our thoughts, in other words, become actions. And that's why it's important that we understand that God knows our thoughts and we need to even be careful the thoughts that we think. You might know some people that have no filter whatsoever. Whatever they think, they go ahead and say. That's not wisdom, by the way. Proverbs says, I believe it's chapter 17 chapter 17, verse 28. Even a fool is thought wise if they keep silent. But if you open your mouth, you'll prove that you are a fool. That is, if you're a fool. And so what we have is we have to learn to use that filter. We have to learn. And I would even suggest that there's some thoughts that are going to go through your mind. Even if you use the filter and don't say them, I think there's some thoughts that we need to ask the Lord to help us with. Now, I'm not referring to those temptations that the enemy is going to plant in your brain, because it's going to happen. I'm talking about those thoughts that are from the desires within you, okay? And we need the Lord to change even the way that we think, not just the things that we say. Would you agree? Well, that's where I'm at. I'm asking him to help me with those things myself. So, that's where I am. Verse 3. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. Does that feel creepy? God knows. And it's not creepy. Because God is completely pure in everything he does. He's pure in it. God sees us and he knows us. And I think that's pretty cool. Verse 4. You know what I am going to say even before I say it. Now that kind of blows my mind. And think about it this way with me. Because we all kind of already understand that, I think. For the most part anyway. But let me throw this in there. If God knows what I'm going to say before I say it, that's really powerful. But God knows what you're thinking right now as well, each and every one of you. How's that possible? Except that we serve a powerful God. He is omnipotent, meaning he's all-powerful. He's also all-knowing. And I'm glad. He knows what we're going to say before we even say it. Now, with that being said, I have encouraged people. Sometimes something doesn't turn out the way you think it ought to. And from time to time, people get upset with God or mad at God. This is what I usually tell people. God's big enough to handle that. The universe, everything is not going to crash because you're mad at God. At the same time, he already knows your thoughts. So just, I would encourage you to go get alone with God and have a quiet time with him and work it out. It might be that he's going to reveal something to you as you open your heart and say, God, I just don't understand. Would you help me? Matter of fact, God, I'm upset. He can handle that. I really don't believe he's going to strike you with a lightning bolt. Okay? It's working it out. You're approaching it trying to gain understanding. Okay? He already knows that you're mad if you're thinking it. You hear what I'm saying this morning? If he knows what you're thinking before you say it, if he knows the thoughts before you speak them, then he already is aware. I would encourage you to work it out and allow him to show you his ways. Who knows, you might walk away being much more enlightened than you ever were before. Might have some revelation on that specific thing. And that could be very, very powerful, don't you think? Verse 5. God, you go before me and you follow me. I like that. I've prayed that way sometimes. God, go before me. Go before me. You know that God isn't limited like you and I are limited in regards to time and space. You and I can only be at one place at one time. God isn't limited like that, evidently. He can go before us and still be behind us. I think maybe behind us too. I got your back. It's all good. But I've already been there, so don't worry. Right? Again, mind-blowing. What? I'm trying to tell you today that we serve an awesome God. We just sang that. An awesome God. There's nothing too difficult for him. Nothing. Really, the only thing he can't do is lie and go against his own word. That's the only thing he can't do. Everything else is possible. But he won't go against what he's already said. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. I kind of think of this one as you know, as a parent with your younger children, when you're in a crowd, you kind of put your hand on, it just kind of depends on their height, I guess. Put your hand on their head and help guide them. But then this also, he's talking about blessing here. You place your hand of blessing on my head. That signifies something extremely intentional. The blessing. And we see that the priest would and even now, we lay hands on each other, asking God to hear us, asking God to bless. Many times it's healing. Other times it's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Other times it's just for whatever's going on in their life. And that's intentional. But look here, the psalmist is saying, God, you place your hand of blessing on my head. See how intentional that is? That's God putting his hand on us. That's, you see the picture? Pretty powerful. And some of those blessings, well, there's all kinds of blessings of the Lord, aren't there? We don't live for the blessings, we live to honor God, right? The blessings are a perk for honoring him and seeking him. Verse 6, and with all of this stuff that he's talked about and we've mentioned so far, verse 6, the psalmist says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too great for me to understand. I can barely comprehend any of it, right? And I've got some more I'm going to share in a little bit. And this verse would still apply. This idea that, whoa, mind is blown. It's just too much to really grasp. But we're giving it a shot today. I can never escape from your spirit, in verse 7. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Why would you want to? Why would you want to get away from God's presence? In reality, aren't we seeking his presence every Sunday and every day in between? Aren't we seeking his presence? But here is the idea that I think maybe the only reason you would want to get away from his presence is if you weren't living right and didn't want to give it up. And therein is an issue. I feel like a broken record here, as I said it in Sunday school class, in the new membership class. If you still want to join, it's not too late, by the way. But we've got to base our life on what this thing says, not what anybody believes. At the end of the day, this is what we're held accountable to. Okay? And that's why, as I shared in that Sunday school class, that's why I give you all kinds of scriptures all the time. Okay? I rarely ever give you too little. And that's why. And so, where can I go to get away from your presence? Why would you want to? Except that something's not right in your life. And listen, if that's the case, all you have to do is repent. Because see that even gives us the idea of location. And so with repentance is the whole concept of I'm going this way, I'm living my way, and I'm doing it my way. And to repent means to turn away from that. Not only away from that, it means to turn back to God. Okay? It gives us that idea, that concept that I'm getting rid of that. I'm turning away from that 180 degrees. I'm turning all the way back around, and now I'm heading back toward God. He said, I can never get away from your presence. Why would you want to? Matter of fact, it's his presence that we're seeking. And to get his presence, that's all you have to do really is repent. And begin to seek him and begin to, the Bible uses a word run. We talked about the name of Jesus a while ago. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, anybody help me? The righteous run. Run, don't walk. Run, don't walk toward him in his direction. It's not just, whatever. No, I got to get there. This is important. Got to feel some of this. Oh, Pastor, you're just emotional. Hey, the scripture said it. Then me and David are emotional. And I'll be in that boat. I'll be in the same boat with David. You bet. We're going to skip a few verses and head down to verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. All the delicate inner parts. Some of you love science. And some of you are like, what's that? But in biology. Did anybody ever do science labs in high school? Yeah. That was pretty interesting, wasn't it? These different inner parts of the human body here we're talking about. It's pretty interesting. Very interesting. Very, very intricate and delicate. Verse 14, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. So I want to explore a little bit. I want to share with you a few things that I found as I look some of this stuff up about the human body. Raise your hand if you have a human body. Okay, great. Did you know, some of you will know this one, did you know there's in the adult human body there's 206 bones? That's a bunch. Raise your hand if you can count that high. Just kidding. The largest bone in the human body is the femur. It can support 30 times the weight of a person's body. Ounce for ounce, that's stronger than steel. Pretty interesting, huh? 30 times a person's body weight. Okay, next one that I'm going to move to. Messages from the human brain travel along nerves up to 200 miles an hour. Raise your hand if you've ever driven that fast. Be careful. How many want to drive that fast? Me and my Ferrari. If a human being's DNA, now check this one out. I don't really even know what DNA looks like. You always see it, and it's kind of like a spiral-looking thing. They say if a human being's DNA were uncoiled, if you uncoiled that doodad all out, you're not going to believe this. It would stretch 10 billion, with a B, miles from Earth to Pluto and back. How intricate is that? You can't even see it. You don't even know you have it. Right? Because some of you are like, I got 10 fingers and 10 toes. We don't even know we have DNA. Until somebody started digging deeper, didn't they? Thank you, God, for making me so wonderfully complex. For an adult human, taking just one step uses up to 200 muscles. Walking's good. Walking's good. A human skeleton renews itself completely every 10 years. That one's kind of hard to fathom, isn't it? A human eye can distinguish between approximately 10 million different colors. And there's just some brief facts about your body that God created. I find those things fascinating. Verse 15, God, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion and as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. I'm going to stop there for a second. He says God watched. God watched that take place. God knew about it. God knew about him. Nothing's changed. God knows about you. But here's what I want to point out for a moment. Last year, in the year of 2020, I looked this up, and they said that there was, in the year 2020, there was 42 abortions. 42 million abortions. 42 would be too many. 42 million abortions worldwide. Esther, why are you bringing that up? I'm bringing it up because we can't stand for it any longer. It's just not okay. It's not okay in God's eyes. When we look at what we're looking at today, and we read in God's holy word that God is the one who forms each person, and each one is precious in His sight. Not just a little precious. Not just, oh well, I kind of like that one. No, extremely precious. You're gonna see it. You're gonna see it here. God, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. God watched. You see, it wasn't that he wasn't involved. He's the one who set it in motion. But then at this point that David's mentioning here, he just sits back and watches at what he created and the way that it was supposed to begin, then work. And he sat back and watched. And maybe as a parent, parents dream about their kids. God may likely dream. Verse 16, you saw me before I was born. You saw me. And I remember before we had any kids, I remember when Emily was pregnant with Nate, our oldest, and I was just kind of like, What's he going to look like? What's he going to grow up to be? And still don't know all that. What are any of my kids going to grow up to be? And so that part is still, it's kind of exciting. But God saw you before you were born. Matter of fact, here David continues and he says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. God knew what was going to happen. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I don't think that God said, here's what you're going to do, and here's every decision that you're going to make. Why would I think that? Because if we go back all the way to Genesis, God said, let's make man in our own image. One of those factors that you and I benefit from is free will. We're not robots. God wants people who will worship him in spirit and in truth, who will choose to do that, who will choose to seek him and choose to follow him instead of going their own way. But guess what? Isaiah 53 tells us even if you chose to go your own way, you can still be redeemed. Because who of us hasn't gone our own way? But when we hear about the Savior, we try to line up to him. Get our lives in line with who he is and what he says for us. And so when it comes to decisions and choices that we make and direction in life, it's based on your decisions. And what I think is that God knows every decision you're going to make before you make it, just as he knows every word that you're going to say before you say it. And so it's not that God, and I believe that he does have a plan for your life. I believe he wants us to do different things, and there's different callings. Not everybody is called to be a pastor. How fun would that be if every one of us was a pastor in here? Wouldn't be very fun. Pastors aren't always cool. Except for me. I mean, I'm cool all the time. Thank you for that amen, John. Appreciate that. But it just wouldn't be right. There's different callings. And that's the way that he's established it. And so what we do is we try to find out what God wants us to do, but that's the choice that we make. Because how many of you know some people who are running from a calling that God has on their life? Yeah, I could name a few. That's at least my opinion about it. So God knows it all. He knows ahead of time. He knows what we're going to do. He knows choices that we're going to make. Verse 17. Listen carefully here. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. What is he saying? Well, he's saying that God thinks about us all the time. God thinks about us all the time. So I haven't been lying to you when I say God loves you like crazy. This is further proof that he loves you like crazy. He thinks about you all the time. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? Here's what I'm hearing right now in some of your hearts. No, I can't be. I didn't make it up. All I'm doing is reading it. How precious are your thoughts about me, David said. How precious are God's thoughts about each one of you? He loves you like crazy. He's thinking about you all the time. Oh, are you sure about that? Well, let's look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, I can't even count them. There's so many of them. They outnumber, listen to this, the grains of sand. Please raise your hand if you've ever counted the grains of sand on any beach. Any beach. Even if it was for ants on your table or something. How many grains of sand? You can't wrap your brain around that. I hope that's getting through this morning. He says, I can't even count the number of thoughts that you have about me. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't, but he does, and he still thinks about you. He's crazy about you. He wants you to be in heaven with him for an eternity. That's how crazy he is about you. And he went to a cruel cross to make it happen. That excites my heart. Listen, if you don't like hearing about the cross, then I shouldn't be your pastor. Because I love the cross. I love the idea that Jesus would God in the flesh would go to the cross, that he would go to do that for us and take our place. It's extremely meaningful to me. It motivates me. And I won't shut up. It doesn't matter what you say or what you do. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about the cross. Because it's the greatest story ever told. And I'm gonna preach it until you believe it. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, God, you're still with me. Think about that for a second. Even though he knows the good and the bad and the ugly about us, when we wake up, he's still there. Hey, son. Hey, daughter. I love you today. Isn't that awesome? God, you don't know what I've done. Oh, yeah, I know about it. I know all about it. Matter of fact, you've forgotten many of them. I know about it. I erased it. I don't look at that anymore. I don't look at that because you're covered in the blood of my son. You're covered in the blood of my son. I don't see that. I don't see that other stuff. All I see is the blood. And that means that you're mine. Isn't that cool? You're mine. And to the Christian, that our response to that should be, yes, I am. You, yes, I am yours. Because really, that's what baptism symbolizes. I belong to somebody else now. If you kind of shake that down, that's what it really means. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I can't count the number of thoughts. They outnumber the grains of sand. Praise God. Verse 19. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. Let's look at the next one. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. David is having issue with things that are going on around him, things that are wrong, things that are evil, things that have been compromised. He's having a problem with that. Can anybody relate? Yeah, of course we can relate. God, help. Help. People ignore the word of God every day. They misuse God's name. How many times has God blasphemed lately? We couldn't begin to say a number there, but it's all the time. Let it not be our hearts. Skip on down to verse 23. Now, we've just come full circle again, okay? We've just come full circle, and now the psalmist says, search me, God. He's given God permission. Instead of earlier where he's kind of saying, God, you know it all anyway. Now he's again simply with that same understanding. Now he's saying, God, I'm giving you permission to search my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Know the stuff that gets in the way. Know the stuff that I get too preoccupied with. Give you permission to look into my heart, God. It's bare and it's open before you anyway. Verse 24, and we're closing. I'm going to invite my wife up to the keyboard. Verse 24, he says, God, search my heart. And now he's saying, point out anything in me. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Point out anything that offends you. Point it out to me, God. Point at it so that I know where it is, so that I know what it is, so that I can deal with it. Point it out. I'm inviting you in to search my heart so that whatever's going on in my life, that if any of it isn't pleasing to you, then you can say, hey, that one right there, that one right over here, we need to work on that. You need to get rid of that. That's not going to benefit you. He's given God the permission to do that. And today we're gonna go through the same exercise. I'm gonna ask you to bow your hearts. If you're here this morning and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, You haven't done that yet. You haven't made that decision. You haven't made that commitment yet. But today you realize that Jesus died on the cross for you. And today you're ready to lay your life down for Him. You've never made this decision before, or maybe it's been a long, long time. And today you'd say, by raised hand, you'd say, I want to begin that relationship with Jesus. I need Him to forgive me of my sin. And I believe that His blood is enough to cleanse me of my sin. If that's you, just slip up your hand so that I can see it. When I see it, you can put, I see that. Is there anyone else? Uh-huh. Anyone else? Jesus, cleanse me. Make me new. Okay, so now I'm going to shift just a little bit. And along the lines of what we've been talking about, especially those last couple verses when David said, God, I'm going to give you permission right now. I want to give you permission to search my heart. Point out anything in me that is offensive to you, that's not pleasing to you. Point it out to me. Point it out to me. Why? So that you can be judged? No. So that God can give mercy. That's why. So we can get rid of it. So we can say, Lord, I don't need that. You're right. Yeah, I don't need that. That isn't good for me. That isn't your best for me. Church, I invite you to do that right now. Ask the Lord. Tell Him, search me. Lord, I invite you. I give you permission to search my heart. You already know it. But God, I may not know it. I may not know what's blocking or what's in the way. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to open up the altars. If the Lord's dealing with you on something, then you need to be up here. Well, but what is everybody going to think? They're not going to think anything. They're not going to think anything. Because right now it's just about you. And it's also about them. And what they're dealing with. Okay? So go ahead, move out. Let's spend some time with the Lord. Let's spend some time with Him. If you raised your hand for salvation, I would love to pray with you.
And I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. And I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. You hold my every bone. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me. I believe
I rejoice in the Lord. He's good, isn't he? Don't forget, he's always good. One scripture stuck out to me one time in the Psalms. I think it's 119, Psalm 119. He said, God, you're good, and what you do is good. Do you see the difference? He's good in who he is. And then because of that, everything he does is good. It's two different things, but they're totally connected. He's always good. But I hate to break it to you, but we can't fit him in our little box. So we got to let him lead us around. He's not somebody you just take home for show and tell. He's God, who's over all things. And for that, I praise him. Yes. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We give you the praise. Because, God, you are all that we need. We honor you today in this place. God, I thank you for speaking to hearts. We give you the praise. We give you the credit, God, and we give you all the glory. And Lord, back to that verse that said, your thoughts are always on us. Help your people to know how much you love them. Let them be overwhelmed with your love and your presence. Let them be overwhelmed with the understanding. Not just the knowledge of your love for them, but the understanding and the revelation of it. God, I give you all the praise. I thank you so much. I thank you for touching lives. I thank you for touching bodies. I thank you for bringing healing. I thank you, God, for healing emotions. I thank you, God, for empowering your people to reach out and minister to others who need Jesus as well. I give you all the praise for all of it, God. We thank you so much. You're wonderful and you're worthy. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. All God's people said, Amen. God bless you. We do have service tonight. That will begin at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night service begins at 6:30. And it is so great to see each and every one.